بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون. If you honor God with your faith, Allah will honor you when He receives you, when the angels receive you in the next world. There is no doubt about it. Sometimes we think that death is a very scary thing, that after death we are going to go through very terrible ordeal. If we have good faith in Allah, Allah would never ever leave His servants, His believing people, to be humiliated, whether in this world or in the next world. There's one hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Who said, if you want to know what is your position in the eyes of Allah, it's very good if you can know it. The Quran talks about certain people and Allah praises them. For example, says Ni'mal Abd about Dawood, about Ayyub. Ni'mal Abd, innahu awwab. What a good Abd he was. He was oft returning in his heart to me. So Allah has praised them. Now you imagine if someone is praised like that by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's going to happen to them? They are going to be honored all the time, in every situation, in every stage. In Surah Jathiyah, أَمْ حَسَبَ الَّذِينَ اجْتَرَهُ السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ نَجْعَلَهُمْ كَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَوَاءً مَحْيَاهُمْ وَمَمَاتُهُمْ سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Those who commit evil, do they think that we are going to make them equal with those who believe and do good in living and in death? So the death of a believer is very different from the death of an evildoer. I'll talk about believers shortly. But in that hadith, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, if you want to know your position in the eyes of Allah, see what is Allah's position in your heart. In this same way, to the same extent that you honor Allah in your heart, Allah honors you. If you honor less, your honor is less. If you honor more, your honor is more. And then a believer is going to be honored all through his life, here at the moment of death, in grave, in barzakh, when they are resurrected. This honor of Allah will be with them all the time. As we mentioned this verse last time, Nahnu, the angels come and say, we are with you, do not worry. Whatever question comes, when you are stuck, we guide you. We are actually telling you what to do, next stage, what's going to come. So Allah honors them in that way. However, sometimes we confuse between the meaning of mu'min by name, which is a Muslim, and mu'min in reality. We think that whoever is born as a Muslim is a mu'min and is destined to paradise, and whoever is born as a non-Muslim is a kafir and is destined to hell. This is actually a disregard for Allah's justice, isn't it? That because I am born in a Muslim family or in a Shia family, I'm going to be honored no matter what I do. And because there are other people who do not reject, but they don't know. They don't know they are born in another faith, in another nation. No matter what they do, they are going to go to hell. This is a wrong idea. This is the idea that Quran rejects when Jews and Christians were having the same idea. وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. They say, the Christians say, no one enters paradise except Christians. The Jews say, no one enters paradise except the Jews. كَذَلَكَ قَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ مِثْلَ قَوْلِهِمْ. Among you there are some ignorant people who say the same thing. No one goes to paradise except Muslims, for example. These are ambitions. There are realities in this world which Allah wants from us, not just names because we are born Muslim. All those 30,000 people who gathered to kill Imam Hussein, you know, they did the Salatul Fajr and then they came to battle. Do we not curse them? Do we not say that they all go to hell? They were Muslims. They were born Muslims. They were praying. They were fasting. So it is not just by name. We want reality. There is a very deep Q&A between a Jewish rabbi and the Prophet, peace be upon him. I really, there are certain questions and answers in this conversation between the Prophet and this Jewish rabbi, which solves many theological questions for us. There are, you probably have heard the name Abdullah ibn Salam. I'm sure you have heard the name Abdullah ibn Salam. Any of you who have read Tafsir of the Quran, you are quite familiar with the name Abdullah ibn Salam. We have two Abdullah ibn Salams. One Abdullah ibn Salam was a Jewish rabbi who was a very respectable man, always teaching in synagogue, praying in synagogue. And after the Prophet, peace be upon him, came to Medina, he converted to Islam after asking a couple of questions from the Prophet. And of course, in our certain narrations of Sunni sources, he's very highly regarded. And this verse, قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ. The one, Allah is enough between us and you as a judge, and the one in who has عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ, knowledge of the book. They say he's Abdullah ibn Salam. Although it cannot be, because this surah is Makki, Abdullah ibn Salam believed in Medina. This Abdullah ibn Salam, who was one of the Ansar later on, we regard him very highly, very respectable companion of the Prophet. However, he had a mediocre knowledge of the book. He's not as we actually take him so high. It's very clear from the way he asked questions from the Prophet. You know, our questions show the amount of our knowledge. And in our sayings, we have as-su'alu nisful ilm. Asking the right question is half of the knowledge. For example, if I see a mathematician, if I see a physician, for example, and I want to ask a question, I cannot ask because I have no knowledge of mathematics or physics. I cannot ask the right question. So question is half of the knowledge. Now, this Abdullah ibn Salam has a very nice story. He says, when Prophet, peace be upon him, came to Medina and people went round him, I went to see, I had heard about him, I went to see how is he, whether he's truthful, not truthful. I went close, he was talking when he had entered Medina. He was talking to people. I joined and I heard he was saying, "Afshu salam, wa at'imu ta'am, wa silu al-arham, wa adkhulu al-jannata bi-salam." Spread peace and salam, feed people, connect your relatives, help your relatives, and wasallu bil-layl wa nasun yam, in the middle of the night when everyone is sleeping, you pray, and without any difficulty you will enter Jannah. That's the easy thing. Without any difficulty you will enter Jannah. He says, when I looked at him, fa'idha wajhuhu laysa biwajhi kazzabin. I looked at his face. His face was not the face of an imposter, was not the face of a liar. So I went to and asked him three questions. And he answered and converted to Islam. I don't want to go through those questions. They are not important questions. Like, for example, what is the first thing that people eat in paradise? I don't know. What's the point of such a question asking from the Prophet? Now, this is one Abdullah ibn Salam. There is another Abdullah ibn Salam who was a Jewish rabbi, and his name was Ismail ibn Salam, who lived in Khaybar. Prophet, peace be upon him, sent a letter to Jewish or to the Jews of Khaybar that I am the prophet of God, well, hukmu lillah, and you, if you want, you could be. This Abdullah ibn Salam was the chief rabbi there, and he said, I go to this man, I ask him questions, and if he can answer, then we believe in him. Now, he prepared, this hadith is a very long hadith in Bahar al-Anwar. He prepared 1,404 questions from Torah and came to Medina. Came to Medina and said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have certain questions from you. If you can answer, I know that you are truthful. If you cannot answer, then the matter will be different. Prophet said, do you want me to inform you what you want to ask, or you want to ask me? He said, well, if you inform me, my heart would be in more peace. Prophet said, you have prepared 1,404 questions and you want to ask me. Man started to cry. Now, this man is not an ordinary man. Of course, it doesn't prove that he's a prophet. He may be able to read the minds or whatever, but this man is not ordinary. Then he asks his questions. The questions are very technical, very technical. For example, the first question he asks him, what are you? Are you a Nabi or a Rasul? Now, this is a very important question. This is the real question. Not what the people, what is the first thing the people eat in paradise, for example. Are you a Nabi or a Rasul, a messenger or a prophet? He said, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدًا مِنْ رَجَالِكُمْ وَلَكَنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّ. The verse in Surah Ahzab. I am Rasulullah and I am the Nabiyeen. There is no Nabi after me. This category of Nabiyeen ends with me. He asked, how do you receive revelation? Tell me. Does God speak to you? Or angels bring to you revelations? The prophet explained, no, God does not speak to me like the way he spoke to Musa, but the angels bring revelation to me. Now, there are beautiful questions he asks. I mean, you cannot doubt this man had deep knowledge of faith. What concerns us here? He says that he asks this question. And this question, as I said, it solves many theological thoughts that are questions that are in our mind about what happens in Akhirah. He said, tell me, Estawjabul Jannata bil Islam أو بإيمانهم أو بالإيمان أو بأعمالهم. On the day of judgment, people deserve to go to paradise because of Islam. Now you are calling us to Islam. It means anyone say I'm a Muslim, that's it, they go to paradise. And anyone who's not a Muslim, is born in some other part of the world, doesn't know anything about Islam, goes to hell. You know, sometimes we come to very irrational ideas. For example, some of our narrations from Sunni sources, they say that the parents of the Prophet go to hell because they were mushrik. Now, suppose they were mushrik. Although, of course, they weren't mushrik. But they were before the Prophets, peace be upon him. How can they go to hell before the message of Islam comes and they reject? You see, sometimes we come up with certain irrational ideas. Now, he said, how do the people go to paradise? استوجب الجنة بالإسلام, by Islam, أو بالإيمان, or with faith, أو بأعمالهم, which one, their actions. Now, the answer that Prophet gives, these are the answers that satisfy this man, Abdullah ibn Salam of Khaybar. And he converted and he became one of the best Muslims, although his people did not accept. Now, the Prophet said, put Islam aside. Islam is just a name, okay? اَسْتَوْجَبُ الْجَنَّةِ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. With faith, they deserve to go to paradise. وَيَدْخُلُونَ بِرَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. But it doesn't mean that they qualify. By faith they qualify, but it doesn't mean that they deserve. How can you deserve to go to paradise when everything is given to us free and we do all these mistakes, although we are faithful? How can we deserve to go to paradise? We don't know what paradise is and we think it's just a picnic or something like that. No. It is only with the rahmah of Allah that they can enter. They qualify with faith. Okay, they qualify. If they don't have faith, no qualification. But they qualify with faith, but it is bi rahmatillah. This is what we have in another hadith that Prophet, peace be upon him, said that no one enters paradise except bi fadl min Allah, with the grace of Allah. And they asked, Ya Rasulullah, even you? He said, even me. No one enters paradise except with the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, وَيَدْخُلُونَ بِرَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Now, this final part is very beautiful. وَيُقْسِمُونَهَا بِأَعْمَالِهِمْ. And they distribute Jannah amongst themselves with their actions. So, you have faith, you qualify, with mercy of God, you go there. How much of paradise you own? How much of paradise? How many square kilometers of paradise you own, so to speak? It's based on your a'mal. By your a'mal, you do that. Now, when we come to death, death for a believer is a VIP transition. You know, when you, I don't know whether you have had this experience of VIP arrival in plane. They come to the gate or they come to the stairs with a VIP car, they take you to the VIP lounge and then they take it from there. Depending on, of course, the degrees of the official who is there, the transition from this world to the next world for a believer is a VIP transition. When we arrive there, we are treated VIP, very important people, or very important, or VIB, very important believers. We enter there, VIB, very important believers. Now, let me read some narrations for you about this death of a believer. And when we say believer, we don't mean very high believer, awliya Allah. Anyone who has honored Allah in this world. And honoring Allah means what? Honoring Allah means if you believe in Him, you know that whatever you have is from Him. This is the meaning of shukr. Shukr, thanksgiving. When we want to thank each other, of course, we compensate. You do something for me, I do something for you in appreciation. But with Allah, we cannot do anything for Allah, can we? Can we do anything for God? Appreciation is just to know that what we have is from Him. And then use it in the right way. Two pillars. Shukr has two pillars. One, knowing, acknowledging that what you have is from God, and then using it in the right way, and then following what the Prophet had said. That's all. Then, of course, the sort of the grade of this VIP reception depends on the grade of your iman. These narrations, which I'm going to read here, show that it's about ordinary believers, bachelors, not masters. Masters are very differently received with angels. Now, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Was asked, how is the feel of death for a believer? The feel of death. Do we feel pain? Do we feel trouble? Do we feel troubled? Do we feel pleasantly? He said, lil mu'min, if you are asking about a mu'min, ka'atyab rihin yashumu, like the best fragrance they have ever smelled in their life. That's all. It's just like that. As quick as that. As you just smell a very beautiful fragrance, you are in the other world. This is how you are transferred. You are taken to the next world. And fayan ashulatibe. And by that fragrance, by that sense, he is filled with joy. وَيَنْقَطِعُ التَّعَبُ وَالْأَلَمُ كُلُّهُ And all pain, suffering will stop for him. So you imagine, I mean, we have lots of worries in this world, sufferings, especially when we get old, pains in all parts of our body. Imagine just suddenly you feel that everything is gone. Just like smelling a good friend and everything is gone. This is how that happens for a believer. Do not confuse, we should not confuse what is it about the kuffar and think that it's for everyone. Of course it's not for everyone. That verse in Surah Jasi I mentioned, do they think that believers and disbelievers, Afaman, or in the Dua Kum Ilawam, Imam alayhi salam reads this verse in Surah Sajda, Afaman kana mu'minan kaman kana fasiqan la yastaw. Is a mu'min like a fasiq? Of course they are not equal. And they are not equal in this world, they are not equal in death, they are not equal in grave, and they are not equal until the very end of the journey. قيل لعلي بن الحسين عليه السلام امام زين العابدين
اللهم صل على محمد
was asked what is death describe for us death قال للمؤمن كنزع ثياب وسخة قمل for believer is just like taking off dirty and filthy dress you see how we feel sometimes we get sweaty, filthy, dirty, want to take it off. And how does it feel? It's like that, death. وَفَكِّ قُيُودٍ وَأَغْلَالٍ ثَقِيلَةٍ And breaking the heavy shackles and chains which are on us. And it's like that, because this body is like a chain on our soul. It's just taken off. وَالْإِسْتَبْدَالِ بِأَفْخَرِ الثِّيَابِ وَأَطْيَبْهَا رَوَائِحٍ And changing it with the most splendid and best perfumed dress. This is the definition of death for a believer. Once Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam went to visit one of his companions who were ill and on his deathbed. And when he entered, he saw that this man is crying and very distraught, fear, frightened. فَقَالَ لَهُ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ تَخَافُ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ لَأَنَّكَ لَا تَعْرِفُ يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ تَخَافُ مِنَ اللَّهِ لَأَنَّكَ لَا تَعْرِفُ You know why you are afraid of death? Because you don't know what death is. You think death is something scary, that's why you are afraid. أرأيتك إذا تسخت وتقدرت وتعذيت من كثرة القدر والوسخ عليك وأصابك قروح وجرب Tell me, when you are very dirty, very filthy and sweaty and then you have injuries and then pus is oozing out of these injuries from you and then there is a bathroom with a shower And someone tells you, would you like to take a shower? Would you take it or you wouldn't take it? Of course you want to take that shower. That shower is death for a believer. Everything, every filth and every the qadr, as is mentioned in this hadith, every uncleanliness is actually washed away from a believer. فذلك الموت هو ذلك الحمام. Death is like that bath. And the last things that may have, the last specks of impurity that may have remained in you, you have done some sins, with death it always will be washed for you. فَإِذَا أَنْتَ وَرَدْتَ عَلَيْهِ وَجَاوَرَتَ فَقَدْ نَجَيْتَ مِنْ كُلِّ غَمٍ وَهَمٍ وَعَذَا When you enter death, all worry, all sorrow, or difficulties, troubles would leave your mind and your body, and you will enter into all happiness and pleasant feeling. Saying this, the man became very calm and passed away. Of course, course, that was a good advice at that moment giving, so that this man was very distraught about death. And then we have in another hadith, this hadith is in Kanzul Ummal from Sunni sources, from the Prophet, peace be upon him. If you look at Sunni sources and Shi'i sources, they are very difficult with about death of a believer, of course. Our Imam have explained it more lucidly and more clearly. The Prophet is reported here to have said, ما شبهت خروج المؤمن من الدنيا إلا مثل خروج السبي من بطن أمه من ذلك الغم والظلم إلى روح الدنيا. If you want me to give a simile of death to you, an example of death, is like when a child is freed from that darkness and tightness of the womb and comes to this world. That's the example of death. You go into a better place. Now, how does the angel of death receive you? This is about what is the nature of death. For a believer, what's the nature of death? إِنَّ مَلَكَ الْمَوْتِ The angel of death. لَيَقِفُ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ مَوْتِهِ مَوْقِفَ الْعَبْدِ الذَّلِيلِ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ would stand beside the believer who wants to take his soul like a humble servant beside his master, like that. Why Malakul Maut is so respectful? Because this man, this woman is honored by faith. Faith gives you honor. And if you have that faith, you have honor in every places, in every stages of your life. Allah actually has given you that honor. مَوْقِفَ الْعَبْدِ الذَّلِيلِ فَيَقُومُ وَأَصْحَابُهُ لَا يَدْنُوا مِنْهُ He stands there. The aids, because we have angels of death, isn't it? They come. It's like a very difficult operation. One doctor is not enough, you know. We need several doctors, anesthetic, and other doctors being there. Several angels come to take the soul. They would not get close until Malakul Maut himself comes, greets him, gives him good news. They say that when Malakul Maut comes to a mu'min, the first thing, because mu'min may be frightened, the first thing says, Ebshar innaka ala khair, don't worry. Things are good for you. Then he starts. So he wouldn't allow any of those angels get close unless he gives greetings and gives him the good tidings about the paradise. إِذَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي حَالَةِ الْمَوْتِ When a person is on his deathbed. You know, on deathbed has different grades. At a point, then there is this balance tips to the other side. When it tips to the other side, that's the end. إِذَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي حَالَةِ الْمَوْتِ يَقُومُ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ مَلَائِكَ Not only angel of death comes, there are other angels come to greet you in the new world. You know, when we come into this world, we have our parents, our relatives, if we have siblings, they are waiting, then congratulating each other, hugging us, taking us in their arms. This is how we are greeted in this world, isn't it? Better than that, when you enter the other world, there are angels who want to receive you. يَقُومُ عَلَى رَأْسِ مَلَائِكَ Angels come. بيد كل ملك كأس من ماء الكوثر In the hand of every angel is a goblet of the water of Kawthar. وكأس من الخمر And a goblet of wine. Of course, that wine of paradise which does not intoxicate, just give elation, just gives eagerness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the khamr of paradise. يسقون روحه They give this to the soul, feed it to the soul. Of course, it's not physical, it's something different. حَتَّى تَذْهَبَ سَكْرَتُهُ وَمَرَارَتُهُ And then they say, تَبْتَ وَطَابَ مَثْوَاكَ Welcome, you have been purified now, and your grave is pure. اِقْدَمْ عَلَى الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ الْحَبِيبِ الْقَرِيبِ come to the one who loves you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it? Come to the one who loves you. Now, then, there are lots of traditions. I have to just skip them because we don't have time. Then, Imam alayhi salam says, فَفَرَغَ مِنْ كُلَّ شُغْلٍ وَوُضَ عَنْهُ كُلَّ ثَوْتٍ. Everything which bothers his mind, his soul, his heart, every heaviness which is on them is taken from them. They feel free in a world of Allah, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this should not be, as I said, this should not be confused with what is mentioned about the kuffar. Adna jazabat al-maut bimanzilat ma'at darbat sayfin. The easiest taking of the soul, the easiest steps of the taking of the soul is like 100 lashes of sword. This is not for the believers. Allah never, of course, honor his believers like this. These are for those. And when I say kafirun, again, do not take it by name. Those who reject anything which is good, those who reject anything which is pure, these are the kafirun. And these are treated like that, and they have to be treated like that. There is one question: why do we curse, for example, the killers of Imam Hussein, the murderers of Imam Hussein? Or why do we curse anyone at all? The reason is we don't know the amount of evil in them. Maybe, inshallah, in the couple of nights that we have, I talk about this issue of cursing and la'an, which is sometimes confusing for us. But anyhow, this is for those who are mal'oon, for those who go with curse from this world, not for the believers. Greet the Prophet and his household with the salawat. When I go through the maqtal, I see the most heartbreaking and the most difficult moment of Imam Hussein alayhi salam when Ali Akbar fell down, when he was martyred. It was the most difficult. That's the first moment that they say Imam Hussein started to cry loudly when he came over the body of Ali Akbar. He started to cry loudly. It was very difficult. You know, you may have, for example, a father who has passed away. You loved him very much. Then Allah gives you a son, very similar to that father, in face, in walking, in talking, very similar. And then you can imagine how much you love this son, because he always reminds you of that father. Now imagine the grandfather of Imam Hussein, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said about Ali Akbar when he sent him to the battlefield, he said, Allahumma shahad ala haula al-ghaib. Whoa. Ya Allah, you witness now, you testify. إِذْ بَرَزَ إِلَيْهِمْ غُلَامٌ أَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ خُلْقًا وَخَلْقًا وَمَنْتَقًا. This boy who is going now to the battlefield is the most similar person to the Prophet in his nature, in his etiquette, in his talk. So you can see the difficulty for Imam Hussein was twofold. One, this boy, this son, reminded him of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and of course he was a dear son to him who was going to the battlefield. Ashab, alayhim assalam, had made, as I said before, had made a covenant with Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam. On the day of Ashura, they came to the grandson of the Prophet. They said, Ya ibn Rasulullah, we have one request from you. What is the request? We request that as long as we are alive, none of your Ahlul Bayt should go to battlefield, because we want to see that we have sacrificed our lives for the family of the Prophet. After we die, then of course, that's We cannot do anything. Imam Hussein granted what they requested, and all the Ashab were martyred. Sayyid ibn Tawus says that as all the Ashab were martyred, the first man from Banu Hashim, from the family of the Prophet who came forth to go to the battlefield, was Ali Akbar. Came to فَاسْتَأَذَنَ أَبَاهُ فَأَذِنَ لَهُ. You remember about Qasim, we said Imam was not permitting and they started to cry. When Ali Akbar came to ask permission, immediately he said, go my son, go my son. But when he went, after he turned away towards the battlefield, tears fell down the eyes of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That, Ya Allah, you witness now what's happening. Now he went to the battlefield, started to fight. A very brave, of course, man, well versed in battle. He fought very well. After about half an hour, came back, boiling with thirst. He said, Ya Abate, Al-Atashu qad qatalani, wa thiqlu al-hadid qad ashhadani, fa'al ila sharbatin min al-ma'i sabi. Thirst is killing me. This armor is bringing me down, the heaviness of the armor. If I have one sip of water, I can gain more energy and go and fight. Tears came down of the eyes of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He said, my son, just fight for a little bit more. Your grandfather Rasulullah will give you water soon. And he went back. He went back, he fought until Murrat ibn Munqidh al-Asadi hit him in his head. Now what happened, we don't know. But apparently the blood from his head poured on the eyes of the horse. Usually in this situation the horse comes back when the rider falls on the saddle, they come back. But apparently the horse could not see. It went towards the army of the enemy. Now Imam Hussein was just watching the swords going up and coming down on Ali Akbar, going up and coming down. فَقَتَعُوهُ إِرْبًا إِرْبًا. They cut him into pieces. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ وَسَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ.